Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 11. Talk about principles of a life of faith. Jesus is coming. He's looking for people that believe him. Never has anything needed more redefining than that one term, faith. We live in a time when a generation has distorted its meanings, made it something to serve a man, made a God that they could use. There comes a time when it must be redefined. What are the principles that govern a man or a woman that would walk in faith? This is what I want to deal with this morning. Verse 11, 119th Psalm, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Then in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, you could quote this, but at any rate, the great preacher is laying forth one of the real truths of what this is all about. Ephesians 5 and 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There's principles that have to govern a man as he walks with God. Along this trail and all these years, in various and different ways, God talks to us. 1969, a little lady has been in heaven now for 25 years, gave me a book. She just handed me a book and said, God told me to give you this book. If God ever talked to a human being through that book she gave me, God talked. My whole life was rerouted by a book that a woman gave me because God talked to me out of that book. I've learned as I listen certain things that govern a life. If you stay true and walk with God, you'll not be tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine and slide of men that comes down the path if you know things. Number one, you know God does nothing without a purpose. That is one of the great truths that came to me. He doesn't play games or toy with the emotions of men. He does nothing without a purpose. When I found that out, then it made a lot of difference in my life. I went to a meeting and a man told me I had one leg shorter than the other and he wanted to pull it out. I said, I'll not submit to such foolishness. I don't have a leg shorter than the other. He said, it's a half inch. I just took my shoe off. I just slipped the shoe off. I said, this is a half inch. I said, like walking on a railroad. I must be insane if I've got a leg half inch short or nothing, don't know anything about it. I don't play your games. He got mad, insulted, but he is an idiot spiritually. I have no time for that stuff. Amen. He won't teach me how to do it. I said, I don't want to learn how to do that. Teach me how to open a man's eyes that are blind. Amen. Don't want to play your games of religion. I learned something about this along this trail. Amen. That if you will allow it to govern your life, live by those principles, know that God doesn't toy with human emotions. When he comes to me, he means business. I learned there's only one thing in this book, amen, that God is after. Everything points to him. That's Christ. Nothing else. Everything, when you come to what God is saying, every revelation, every message, everything, if it's God, you wind up with Jesus. That's all. You're coming to his son. This is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased with nothing else. He looks at me, he looks at you. He sees nothing but Christ. And all of his working with me is to rid me of everything that's not Christ. I read 1 John chapter 4, beloved, believe not every spirit. I go to your meeting. You say, don't you question this. I won't be back. No, no. I'll not sit and listen to no human being that I can't question what he says. I can't question what he does. You deal with my eternity. And if I don't know what you're saying, I don't make you wrong, but it does make you going to have to talk to me. I'm not going to buy everything you say. I don't eat regurgitated food. I look through this book, find out what's going on. I'm not a parasite. I'm not a mere consumer. I come here to get from God, and I come here to give to God. Everything must be put to the test. I learned 66 books in this Bible. You can prove anything you want to prove out of it if you pull it out of context. You take this book, take it out of context, you can make it say anything you want it to say. But this book, God didn't just give me a book, he gave me a person. You listen, there's a living book here. There's a living word. And to try the spirits by the word of God is to bring them to him. That's all. I said, bring them to him. 66 books, it may take me a long time, but I can look at him. I see what's going on. I want you barking like a dog. I say, Jesus, do that. He will not. I will not. Amen. You may crawl around on that floor and grunt like a hog. He won't do it. I won't do it. I bring it to him. If it's not a part of him, it's not a part of me. Everything brought to him. That Toronto crowd got to Moscow in my absence, and a man that had worked for me, a very faithful friend, he had invited under my name all of the former students. They came in. When I got there, Luda, who run that office, and Andre had gone down one night. They said, Pastor, men and women on that floor rolling around, grunting like hogs, hissing like snakes, and said a lot of our students were there. I never went back. I don't know whether any of them involved or not. I wrote an epistle. It won't fit in anybody's Bible, but it fit the lives of those that I'd trained. I said to him, I had nothing to do with that coming here. It was sin unto my name. But I do want to tell you, you ask one question. You don't ask it to anybody but yourself. I said, you ask it, you answer it, and you be governed by it. Would the Lord Jesus Christ roll around on that floor and grunt like a hog? If you believe he would, then you join that crowd. If you don't, you better run, mister. All along this trail, there's certain things that God spoke into this heart. It's kept me from running after everything that come down the pike. Amen. I may have missed something, but I never swallowed something. I've watched people there regurgitating something every other week. They're swallowing everything the devil has to sell. But I can tell you there's some things that cannot be violated. And that's the principles of this gospel. The Holy Spirit will never, never violate it. When we come to this thought of faith and holiness, if there's ever been a truth that's been distorted, coming out of Africa several years ago, very tired, sitting on that airplane thinking, I'd been in Burkina Faso, right on the edge of the northern Sahara, and it was so hot. I'd had 1,100 preachers for 10 days. I'd preached to them 7 and 8 hours a day. Temperature 110 outside in that metal building with a metal roof, rather. No sides on it. It was 125. Water actually run out of my shoes while I preached. Amen. I'm coming home so tired, but so full. And as I thought on the things I wrote in my Bible, the lack of faith in this generation is demonstrated by a fact that's all they can talk about. If you got faith, mister, you don't have to talk about it. You live faith. You walk faith. You are faith. That's what faith is all about. Abraham never one time said he had faith, but when he died, God wrote him up and said he had faith. And every man that ever reads this book knows he's a man of faith. He walked with God. Faith is living what you believe every day. It's getting up in the morning, praying through, not just in convention time, but every morning, getting up, praying through, being filled with the Holy Ghost, walking it. It's living every day what I believe. It isn't hooked up in my emotions. It isn't a positive thought or a negative thought. It's walking with God, and there are no crises in a man's life that walks with God. He don't have to find God. God is there. Amen. God is there. And the principles, if we build into our being, amen, to know, and don't be afraid. Doesn't matter how big the name. It doesn't matter who they are. Amen. It is here that I must be bold to look at it. Is this right or isn't it right? If it's right, I want to be a part of it. If it isn't, I want nothing to do with it. I just want to live for God. There's certain things going on. Man said, everybody don't believe this. It is one of the foolish virgins. I wanted to talk to him about it. I said, who wants to listen to a foolish virgin? So just put it out of the way. I said, I just threw it out. Listen. I am here to tell you that this is not a hope-so thing. You can walk with God. You can know where God is. You can know what God is doing. And you don't have to be tossed to and fro by everything that comes down the pike. Antichrist is going to call some fire down after a while. And most of the people I know in Pentecost is going to worship him because he could do it. They're all locked into their emotions. I'm an emotional man too. I can tell you those emotions don't govern what I believe. Now there's two main factors in a life of faith. And a man walks with God. Two main things. Everything else comes under all of this. But two things. An absolute reliance upon the Holy Spirit. When God baptized you in the Holy Ghost, he gave you his life. Everything necessary to live for God, to walk with God, and to do whatever God has called you to do. You may not have two quarters to rub together, but if you're full of the Holy Ghost and have a mind to do it, on the far side of things, you will have done what God has told you to do. Nobody passed through a storm like the great preacher Paul, but the end of his life, he said, I have kept the faith. You know what he was saying? I'm still a Christian in spite of hell, in spite of storms, in spite of shipwrecks. I'm still a man of God. I'm still believing. I'm still a holy man. I've kept the faith. Yes, sir. I've walked with God. But it was a reliance on this Holy Ghost. Isn't it a tragedy? 16% of the Pentecostal world filled with the Holy Ghost. Think about it. We're no longer a Pentecostal movement. We've reduced it down. I was in one place in Africa. They were calling us evangelicals. I said, I'm not an evangelical. I'm a Pentecostal. Amen. This church wasn't born Methodist, Baptist, or Catholic. It is talking in tongues on its birthday. It's a Pentecostal church. I've been in it all of my life. Don't intend to trade it for nothing else. Years ago, the last quarterly of the Sunday school I bought was back in the late 60s. I was teaching the adult Bible class across the way in the old church. And that morning, looking at that quarterly, rather in the week, getting ready to study, they said, we must not be too dogmatic about this Holy Ghost baptism. We might offend our denominational people who don't believe it. I threw the thing out the window and I said, them Methodists will sprinkle whether I believe it or not. Them Baptists will preach their Calvinism whether I believe it or not. I'll preach this Holy Ghost. If there ever one of them walk out, it's the answer to life. It's God's life in that believer. I said it's God's life, God's emotion, God's love, God's faith, God's life, everything God is. And this life is a dependent upon this Holy Spirit, but it's an absolute confidence in the Word of God. Those two things, an absolute reliance upon the Holy Spirit. I was out with Brother Duke when he was going through that storm. A lot of things had happened, looked like one bill, and we got it, and then it all fell apart. And because it cost money along, he is really concerned. I said to him, Duke, let me tell you something, sir. Amen. You listen to an old man that's passed this road a long time ago. God isn't worried about your money. It's a man. And if you had to pass through that for him to put something in you, so be it. It's cheap. Whatever it costs to put it in you. God's money, money. God is the man that God is after. When that heart is right, that heart is honest. God is molding a human being that through that human this Christ can live. Nothing else matters. It does cost. I was on television across this nation at one time when I went off of the thing. I didn't have sense enough to know when to quit. But when I got through, I'm $500,000 in the hole for 4 years. I rode those airplanes, wishing one of them had crashed because I had enough insurance to pay the mess off. But I paid it off. But in it, I learned this. God never lost one wink of sleep over that $500,000. But when I come out on the other side, money absolutely meant nothing to me personally. It doesn't matter whether the car smells new or not. It doesn't matter that this is a men's warehouse suit. I'm not looking for anything but God. He killed that. I don't have to keep up with anybody. I just have to be approved of him. Amen. Absolute reliance on the Holy Spirit, absolute confidence in the Word of God. These are the foundations that make up a life of holiness and boldness in God. It's these two things that project a man beyond the realm of human thinking. It pushes him beyond the boundaries of human understanding. It is this that makes him say, you're mad. Amen. It is here as a man comes. Listen, fill your head and heart with the Word of God. I remember when I first got saved, I'd never read this book, never read it. I knew nothing about it. But I was working where I could every morning, about an hour before that man come to pick me up to sell him that oil. I memorized a chapter out of this Bible. All day long, I quoted it. The nearest I ever come to leaving this earth is the day I memorized the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I must have quoted it 100 times during that day. Oh, listen, I never got closer to heaven, but I learned, fill your heart and your mind with the Word of God. Memorize the Bible. As you do, you're sowing seed in that heart that'll keep you when a wall falls apart about you. I think David wrote that. I wish he'd have wrote it before that night when he run into Bathsheba. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Joseph can say, how can a man like me so sin against God? There's something hid in that heart. There's something in there that made him run. He's a man, a normal man, a young man, a lonely man. But there's something in his heart bigger than he is that helped him to run in the crisis of his life. Because in that heart was the Word of God. You must become so filled with the Word of God that we're epistles known and read. Amen. Where we talk God all the time. I'm not a golfer, don't care who does. I'm not a fisher, don't care who does. I don't know much of anything to talk about. But God, if you want to talk to me, then we're going to talk about God. There's going to be very little else because this is where my life is. Man doesn't know the Bible is ignorant, no matter what he knows. Man knows the Bible, may not know anything else, but he's an educated man. Yes, sir. Nothing. Soul filled believers are strong only as the Word of God abides in them. Then they can test everything that comes down the pike. Amen. Know the Bible. Live it. Believe it. Obey it. Make it a practice of your life. Better never know it if you don't do it. Better you never heard it than to hear it and not put it into practice in your life. I tell you, the church has lost her plausibility. That's her believability. That is a social dimension of believing. We preach a holiness and we're not holy. The most churches, you go into them, you don't know where the world stops and the church starts. I've saw people on a platform in a choir with less clothes on than I'd let my daughter go to bed with. And they call it Pentecost. They call it Pentecost. There's something bad wrong with that. Obey it. Live it. Let men see Christ in us. Amen. I'm not saved by rules, but I can tell you, that life full of the Holy Ghost is bounded by Him. There's something in me don't want to cross that boundary. Amen. When a dual heart is stricken, hide the Word in your heart. The Word hid in your heart will save your soul, quicken your body, illuminate your mind, and in every circumstance of life, you'll be able to give an answer for the hope that's in you. No matter who questions you, if that book is in you, it doesn't matter that you haven't memorized it. I preach sometimes, very seldom ever listen to myself. But I'm amazed at the scriptures I quote that have never on this earth memorized. But they come out because He's in there. And I've read Him. Oh, hallelujah. It's such a thing. Have this in your heart. Under any circumstance. At any time, any place, He can pull up. He can use it. Amen. He can make you wise. He can make you know what you never knew. Amen. The Word of God is full. It's final. It's infallible. Amen. I don't care. You know the copyright of the Bible has been bought by this Murdoch, this evil thing that has the cable and newspapers. No longer the Nelsons. That's the reason it changes every time. They'll make themselves a new translation. Everywhere you go, they say they don't want the King James because of the thee and the thou. I know what that means. I don't have no trouble. All of us are a product. 50 years ago, I got saved listening to this. I don't have to pick up that which has eliminated that which is offense. All the time trying to make God a woman and a thousand other things. Listen, folks, this book is God's book. It stood the test of time. Depend on it. Believe on it. Rely on it. The devil has all the money there is, and he'll spend tens of thousands of dollars to change one little thing about this book. Amen. I get that Seventh-day Adventist ministry magazine, been getting it for years. I never knew one of them in any contact at all, but they start sending every now and then in there there's something. They're worthwhile. They had a dialogue between a man who had once been a homosexual, now a Holy Ghost-filled preacher. Amen, a preacher. And the other is a homosexual still and is a preacher. And the man is talking to that homosexual. He said, I came from where you are. You're not saved, mister. You can't be what you are, no God. And the man says, the Bible doesn't say that. And this man delivered turned to the book of Romans, and the man said to him that Jerusalem translation doesn't say that. That's the reason the Jerusalem translation come in to be in. So that kind of a thing could call himself a Christian. Change the truth of God into a lie to make it fit that which it won't fit. Yes, sir. It's infallible. It's reliable. And it's up to date. Had a man call me, said, you need to come into the 20th century. Preaching on television here. I said, what do you mean? Well, the message you're preaching, I said, I'm preaching a book. It's not a first century Bible, it bridges a century. If you don't come to the year 4000, it'll still be the book. I said, it'll bridge, doesn't matter where you go, how smart the internet gets, this book will be smarter than the internet. Yes, sir, it's the answer. I said, it's the answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our attitude toward the Bible must be one of unquestionable obedience. Don't make no difference what you say you believe. If you won't do it, you don't believe it, mister. And no belief in you at all. Talk about what you want. You can sing about loving God. But if you don't do what he tells you, you don't love God. You are a liar in your profession. When you say you believe and you don't do what God has taught you, if a thing is in the Bible, then that thing is so. Doesn't matter. I believe I told you. A man asked me many years ago. He said, do you really believe that big fish swallowed Jonah? I said, yes, sir. And if this book said Jonah swallowed that big fish, I would believe it. This is the truth. If God said it, it is so. And man must come to that. Amen. The word is not to be prayed about. It's to be received in faith. It's to be taken a hold of and applied to my life every day, living. Amen. That's all it is. And if you're truly a child of God, then you hear his voice. I said, you hear his voice. When it comes with the word of God, how wonderful it is in a world like when Brother Darrell and I were in China. They had people out there, had little portions of the Bible. All they had, one of in the book of Acts, where Paul was struck down by that light, by Christ, and was blind for 3 days. And so these people believe that if you're going to be a leader, you have to be blind for 3 days. That seems strange, but that's all they had. But they're born again. But when a man looks at them and preaches his truth, they say, we didn't see it that way. It immediately changed. But if it's a tear, you can't change nothing. But if it's the truth of God, then you deal with a child of God. Inactivity of faith is a robber of everything. A man that won't do, don't believe. The bottom line of faith is doing. Faith is an act based upon a belief supported by a confidence of continued believing that if God said it, God will do it. I'm sick today. I may not be well, but I'll be well tomorrow. Amen. There's a transubstantiation taking place. That which is settled in heaven is eventually going to be made real on this earth if I'll stay there and believe on. I said, if I'll stay there and believe on. Hallelujah. Doesn't make any difference what it looks like, feels like, or what the world says, what the preacher thinks, or backslidden church thinks. If I stand on the infallible word of God, somewhere God's going to make it real to me. Somewhere he's going to make it real. Increase comes as a man does. In his light, there's light. I told you the other night, somebody said, did you ever think you'd have a school? Never dreamed of a school. I'm the last person in the world. Amen. I'd said to God, you ought to get somebody over here to put a school in Russia. I never believed that. Only thing I ever did in my Christian life is to do at that moment what I knew was the will of God. That's all. At that moment, in that place, I did what I believed to be the will of God. In his light, there's light. Inactivity is a robber of faith. If you're not doing with what you've got, if you've got $10 and won't give 3 or 4 of that, why should God give you anything else? Amen. Why should he give you anything? If you won't use what you have, God's not wasteful. Nature's not wasteful. He takes away from people that don't use what they have. The mole is blind because he chose to live in darkness. It's wasted. God's not wasteful. The word of God must be implicitly obeyed. To obey is better than sacrifice. That word translated sacrifice, according to Mr. Strong, can also be translated praise. Amen. Not just sacrifice, praise. Better to obey than to come to church and sing the courses. Amen. Oh, yes, sir. Better to obey. Better to do what he tells you than to go through what men call praise. I was going out to Russia for the school, and a man called and wanted to send a team out there to teach him how to worship. I said, I learned a long time ago, you don't learn to do that by doing it, but by doing it. You can't teach a man to pray. You can teach him what prayer is. The only people who know how to pray is the people that pray. And the people that know how to worship are the people that worship. You don't get somebody to teach others. I've watched that get up there, amen, with all of that. I run into a bunch of them behind the curtain one time, and the one was telling me, said, now when you get to this beat, you kick your leg out this way, and on the next beat, you kick it out this way. Well, they kicked the legs out, but when I began to preach, they went to sleep. Obedience is a normal fruit of faith. Yes, sir. If you love me, you'll do what I tell you. And faith works by what? By love. What is love? Obeying God. Amen. It's a normal fruit of faith. What a tragedy. We've got a house full of people that that claim to believe. And the tragedy is, the believing that doesn't do anything does nothing for the human. So we got a house full of people going to hell all the while claiming they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is not a mental something. It is an absolute committal to who he is, what he is, where he's going, what he's doing. Everything about life is thrown into that. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But second, we must believe in the Holy Ghost. We must rely upon him. We must absolutely know that I have in me whatever it takes to accomplish whatever God sends me to do. I'm not going down to a morgue and try to raise somebody from the dead. But if the Holy Ghost leads me there, I'll bring a corpse back made alive. I'm telling you, everything I need, it's not in psyching myself up. It's not in me telling myself nothing. It's believing in what God Almighty has put inside of me. It's being led by the Spirit of God and not being afraid to act. It is a total reliance. A great preacher once said years ago, the Holy Ghost began to talk to me. I was too busy to listen. But said after a while, I began to turn aside. And now, in the slightest nudging, I lay everything down and just go. I don't want to be rude. Amen. I was that all of my life. I was a rude man. Amen. I got born again. All had changed. I'm telling you, I'm up here and I've touched the rim of that Spirit. I don't need you touching me now. I said, I don't need to talk. Let you just wait a little while till I get through here. You let me listen. What are you talking about? I'm talking about when the Holy Ghost is talking. When you've touched the rim, you don't need conversation with anybody. It's time now. We in the school, we were good folks, honest people, but we're in Kerrville. And we'd get down there at night and we'd begin to touch people crying out. They're through, you could hear them. Here'd come somebody along wanting to lay hands on them. I said, don't do that. Don't do that. Get over and pray till that same thing's on you. Don't mess with these people. They've touched God. Be filled with the Spirit. Upon obeying this command, we must rely upon him. We must believe in him. What he claims to be in me, he is in me. You can believe that. He is all that Jesus ever was. He said, I'm going to pray the Father. Now, this is the truth himself that said that. I'm going to pray the Father to send you the Spirit of truth. Now, listen. I'm a Trinitarian. I know there's three persons, one God. Let me tell you something, though. He said, I'm going to pray the Father to send you the Spirit of truth. Truth himself said that. Then he said, he's been with you. Who's been with you? I've been with you. He's going to be in you. Who's going to be in you? I am going to be in you. Oh, my God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, sir. That Holy Ghost coming in me to live Him right here in Beaumont, Texas, and wherever. This we must believe. We must believe. Every day, pray through to a new baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't run the race out there until you prayed yourself into God. The Bible said, seek me early. Amen. That's not Hawaii time. That's right now in Beaumont, Texas. You hear me? Wherever you are, that's now. Pray through. They that seek me early will be found of me. Jesus got up a long while before day to pray, to get a hold of God. You're going to face 1,000 devils out there today and that many opinions. You must be full of God. You can't stand up without Him. But greater is He that's in me than anything that's going to come against me. As it pushes up and comes out with the unutterable, pray through to that every morning. Walk in that every day. He'll be there. And life, to walk in the Spirit, is just the choices you make. Life is a choice. Every day I live, I face that choice. And the choice is always the same. Was a good-looking woman in Egypt, or 3 Hebrew children before Nebuchadnezzar, the choice is simple. Am I going to stay in God, or am I going to stay in myself? That's a choice, to walk in the Spirit. I must make that choice every day, all along the line. That's to be led by the Holy Ghost. Search the Scriptures, pray day and night to show yourself approved. Doesn't matter what men call success. They never called Jeremiah success. Even his own mom and dad threw him out. I'm going to tell you one thing, the devil knew who he was. I said the devil knew who he was when old Nebuchadnezzar come there, sacked him up, and pointed the finger, said, you're going down to Babylon, but you're going to stay here and work these grapes and pay the tithe to the king. But when he come around to Mr. Jeremiah, he said, sir, if you want to go to Babylon, we'll treat you right. But if you want to stay here, it'll be all right with us. He knew who he was. That church may not know who he is, but I'll tell you, heaven knows. I said, heaven knows. He is a success in God's sight, because he's approved of God. It is the breath of God, the person of the Holy Ghost, that makes a man a minister of God. You can be a preacher if you get a sermon, and you get one of them most anywhere. Amen. That's all it takes. I've saw pulpiteers that could sway, great soul masters that could orchestrate an audience, but there was no real life there. If you're going to be a man of God, you got to be a man led by, governed by the Holy Ghost. And to do that, you got to lay on that altar. That cross must be an active agent in your life, keeping dead that which is unacceptable to God. The sermon makes the preacher, but the altar makes the man of God. We must jealously guard this gift. Paul told Timothy, guard that deposit. Don't you neglect that gift. You got it. I laid my hands on you. That isn't impartation of revival. That's a man blood washed clean and right. And the man of God laid hands on him is filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the way it works. I said, that's the way it works. But he said, don't you neglect that. Guard that deposit, son. Everything about your life depends on your walking in that Spirit. God showed me when I first got saved. I wasn't saved out of Sunday school. I was saved out of hell. Amen. My life was a mess. And I come among holy people with a desire to be like them. But the devil had a fear in my mind that I'm going to fall back. I didn't have a coffee shop or a halfway house. God made me know it's not a thing of environment. It's a power of God in the spirit of a man that'll keep him anywhere and everywhere if he's born again. I remember there's that fear. I'd pray to God. I said, these folks backslide. They just go back to Sunday school. I go back to the gutter. And I worried. But he took me to that millennium where them lions are eating straw like an ox. laying down there, a little fat lamb eating that old dry hay. Kid playing the snake, snake don't bite him. Amen. God said to me, that snake wants to bite that kid, but it can't. That lion says, what am I eating? A straw ought to eat that lamb. Amen. Them people are not doing right, not stealing no more. They're not saved. Read the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. When the devils turned loose, they took after him. He said, you know why that lion won't eat that lamb? You know why them ungodly people are doing right? It's because the Holy Ghost in that glorified church will hold this universe in absolute subjection to God for 1,000 years. How much more, son? If you walk in the Spirit, I'll hold every lust of that flesh under subjection. I can be a holy man. I don't have to sin. I can walk with God. Every inordinate desire held in absolute subjection by the Holy Ghost in me. He said that Holy Ghost in that glorified church will hold everything in this universe in absolute subjection to God for 1,000 years. How much more, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts or the desires of this flesh. Amen. Oh, listen, to see the manifest power of God, there has to be a moving with compassion. Oh, along the line. That's the hardest lesson for us to learn. Folks don't act like we do. We get angry with them. Amen. But you know, God never judges a man where he is. He judges him where he sees he can be. We look at a man, get him saved. Amen. He got a ponytail all the way down to his belt. And he looks different. We think it ought to look. But God, not looking at that. He's looking at what he can do with him if you leave him and you'll lead him. We'll throw him out if he don't fit our mold the first day or two. That in the way it is compassion. Amen. To know that there's a life there that can be developed. And that passion, that compassion. Amen. The source of Christ's mightiest miracles was the wonderful compassion that he had. He who knew no sin became sin. Amen. We must be able to weep over the lost, the sick, the demon-possessed. We must burn in our zeal to undo the work of the devil. There must be that within us to break that bondage. We must know that those people are like they are because the God of this world has taken them captive. And unless we break that hold upon them, there's not going to be any victory. Amen. We must be positively aggressive in moving out to emulate the Lord Jesus, who the Bible said went about doing good. I got sick one Sunday right after church. Everything, every bone, every muscle, every nerve in my being was as if it was exposed and raw. I never had such pain. I lost 20 pounds in 4 days. I thought sure the end has come, and I really wished it would. I could not bear. Amen. Nothing to touch or to move. Amen. People prayed. But brother, in the church here, Brother Bridges, amen. He worked at the mobile, and he had Sunday. He was in church and saw me come Wednesday. Found out I was sick Thursday evening. He come by the house, and he said, Sister Clendon, I come by to pray for Pastor. And she said, well, be very careful, Brother Bridges. He can't stand the slightest touch. Don't move the bed. It's a constant pain. Amen. But he come in, he opened that door, and when he saw me laying there, I looked like a ghost of the past. He just broke. I never saw a man weep, and he never worried was going to hurt me. He just fell across me, crossways across that bed, and began to weep. Oh, God, heal my pastor. I was instantly made whole. It was a compassion of a heart that felt what I felt. He hurt like I hurt, and God made me well. To walk in faith is to walk in compassion for those that have been taken captive by an enemy. But the message must challenge us to live ready all the time. Amen. This up and down cycle. You have to have a revival every 6 weeks to get saints back in line. That's the reason it never gets outside. Half empty vessels drank the river up before it ever gets out where people are lost. this is a tragedy of our time. I said, it's a tragedy. Up and down like a yo-yo. Amen. Instead of living ready, get up every morning, pray through, walk with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Live ready. Live ready. Amen. If you have to get ready, when opportunity comes, it's too late. It won't wait on you to pray. Listen, there's things in our life today that weren't there yesterday, and they won't be there tomorrow. Amen. China's open today. It may not be open tomorrow. Amen. If I procrastinate, that border may close and a billion people go to hell simply because of the inactivity, that we weren't ready. Opportunity does not wait even while you pray. You must live ready. Live ready. Ask for what you want. Leave God to give it to you. Live where you can ask Him. Live that you're not condemned in His presence. Ask Him what you want. A definite faith will produce a definite results in your life. Move and act on the Word of God. Doing the buck and wing all over this place, but Monday morning not know whether they're saved or not. Felt good last night, don't feel good today. Yes, sir. Faith is not feelings. Amen. Listen, it'll produce feelings, but it's not feeling. Feelings are liar. You hear me? Brother Isaac felt Jacob, but he deceived him anyway. Yes, sir. But if you believe God, you'll have more feelings than you can handle. That little woman touched that garment and said, I felt. Oh, I felt virtue. I felt. Amen. Yes, sir. But you can't rely on how you feel, what you feel. It's what you believe. That must govern everything. Amen. When the woman with the issue of touch touched him. But you must live a life of confidence in God. To do that, you must be filled with the Holy Ghost. You must be filled with God. Walk in Him. And you'll never be overtaken by circumstance if you stay full of God. If you always, you get up like this morning, pray through, be refilled. Hallelujah. If you have to have a little more sleep, go back home, take a nap if you can. But get up in the morning. Don't let the devil keep you there. Pray through. Talk to God before you talk to your wife. Read the Bible before you read the paper. Amen. Get God into your being first. And the decision all day will be for Him and on His line. And under every circumstance, you'll only work. Christ's words, only believe, just meant believe. That's all. Takes no exegete. You don't have to have a seminarian to tell you what that means. Amen. Only believe. That means believe. Believe what you read. He said, I have bore your sickness. Well, He did. I've got a good heart because He did. I believe that. Know that faith never fails to obtain its objective. Men of faith always have a good report. So get rid of that little thinking. Think largely. Believe God for something. Amen. Don't put God down in the possible. Believe for something that if God don't do it, it isn't going to happen. Listen, be more concerned about a rich, noble character than you are about prophesying. Be concerned about holiness. Be concerned about walking with God. Be concerned what the neighbor thinks about you. Be concerned. Have a good report from them without. They may not like what you do. May not like your religion, but they'll have a good report. Said you can leave, lock off the hen house. Over in where I'm going next Saturday, wife and I going to Sweden for a month. Going to put the school of Christ in the Swedish language. Some of the greatest people at little village of Jungshile. Amen. The lady there, her little girl and her walking down the street. They live in apartments they built there. And a lot of the church live in those apartments. And the little girl walking along said to her mother, said, the people of peace live here. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, never been in that church. But said, the people of peace live here. Yes, sir, Jesus was there. I said, Jesus was there. She told her mother what she felt on her way to school and in the school with those children. The people of peace live here. Amen. Be concerned about a character. Be concerned about your life. Be so filled with the Holy Ghost that when they push on you, amen, when they push you down, criticize you, hate you for what you are, nothing comes out but Jesus. Yes, sir. No, you don't slap back. You turn the other cheek in a thousand ways. That's the answer to it all. We've only touched the outer circle of the great spiritual life. Be so filled with the Holy Ghost, there's no room for anything else. If you're so full of God that there's no room for murmuring and criticism, then you're on the right track. Men are going to see Jesus. They're going to see Jesus. If we keep evil out of the inner realm, we destroy its virulence. Amen. Keep it out of the heart. Amen. Then you destroy its effect upon your life, because if you're so full of God, there won't be criticism. And every day, we must seek to gain a higher place in God. Every day, I must climb a little higher. I must not wake up and say, I used to be up there. There's a time when God was more real to me than he is now. That's most of the church. They've got things in their lives they wouldn't allow. They tell you they've learned better. They haven't learned better. They lost something. Amen. They lost something. The whole truth of the matter, they've lost something. You don't feel God like you used to feel him because you're not where you used to be. You used to come to the house of God. Amen. They'd sing about Jesus. You'd sit there and weep. Preacher preached a message. You'd weep the whole time. Amen. You'd leave the church with tears still undried on those cheeks. Now wonder what's happened. You're lower than you used to be. But every day, we ought to seek to gain a higher place. A higher place. Amen. You must refuse everything that's not pure and holy. Make no excuse. What do you think about this? Leave it alone. That's what I think about that. No matter what it is. Any question mark whatsoever, leave it alone. I'd rather get to heaven and God say to me, you know, son, I wouldn't have no problem with you doing this. But I'd sure hate to hear him tell me, you're going to have to go to hell because you disobeyed what I told you. Or heaven's not going to be as big as it was or could have been because I had to include in my life the foolishness of this life. What is the advantage of such a life? Oh, listen. God wants you to have an intense desire for holiness. That's lost. That's lost. Amen. For the most part, that's lost. Parents can't do anything with the children. Family left here. Amen. Every time you saw a little old girl, her dress got a little higher. Amen. Come down on that pretty hard. What are you trying to do? They say to her, well, you're going to have to dress well. I'm going to run off. They left. Oh, I tell you, bored stop you from running off most of the time. Yes, sir. We've come, children rule. That's what the Bible said would happen. We live in that time, children run the thing. We've listened to Spock instead of God, and we've lost a generation of kids, and when they don't have the way, gets so frustrated to kill one another. It's a day when the Bible has been lost. If we have our conscience filled with the glory of God, seek an intense desire for holiness, Satan will have a hard time. When we come to the place where we serve him for pure love's sake, that song, I'll serve you because I love you. When we serve for pure love's sake, listen, amen, we shall find the hand of the Lord Jesus upon us all the time. Two things that get you to leap out of yourself. Listen, one is purity, holiness. The other is faith. Amen. One cannot really be there without the other. One cannot be there without the other. Purity, holiness. Faith is kindled by a holy walk, a walk with God. God has no room for the man who looks back, thinks back, or acts back. No, no. No, no. If you're mindful of where you come from, you're going to wind up back there. It's always going to be insinuating itself back into your life. If you're mindful, if you sit around and think where you used to be, it isn't going to be long till you're back where you used to was. Don't be afraid to ask. God is ready to answer. Remember, God has raised us up in Christ far above principalities and powers. Made us sit with him. Now he says, if there be any virtue, praise, goodness, mercy, think on these. Fill our minds with these things. Seek every minute to be a holy person. Great testimonies are the outcome of great tests. Yes, sir. Great testimonies are the outcome of great tests and trials. You must jealously guard the faith you preach, and you must practice that faith. Let us stand. Hallelujah.